take your seats. Now, if you're, the children have done it already. I was going to say there's crafts at the back there, but they're there. Well done, Jenny. Got them well organised. Great. Matt's going to come and share with us now. And it'd be great just to be thinking of Matt and Liz and Alice and Emily today as Alice, they're going to be heading straight up to Gatwick after the service today. Alice heading off to Norway tomorrow. So be good to be thinking of these guys this week.
Thanks, mate. Good. Oh, it's been so good, isn't it? You know what? I really love our church. Some of the why is kind of summed up in Shanna's testimony. We're not an organization that you join. We're a family on mission that God is at work in the middle of us. It's not because we're the same either. Far from it. There's only one Shanna, right? And praise God, fearfully and wonderfully made by him. I love it because we're gathered around Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one whose love and whose grace is at work in us. The Jesus described perfectly in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Just get hold of this. It says he's the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As a church, we have three values that we believe God's given us. And not surprisingly, they are rooted in Scripture, in the Bible, but they're lived out in everyday life, whether you're a student, a stay-at-home mum, a lorry driver, a doctor, whatever you are. That's the place where these things are lived out. Those three values are to be disciple-making, church-planting, and world-reaching. So what could these things mean in 2022 with all of the uncertainties that we face? Somebody a lot wiser than me said, "We don't know what our future holds, but we know the one who holds our future." So what does Jesus, this author and perfecter of our lives, of our faith, what does he want us to trust him for this year? I'm going to work backwards this morning because after this last 22 months, you might be thinking, hold on a sec. World reaching, church planting, are those things even possible? Surely we've got relatively little to say about those. We can barely get on a plane, and it's a privilege. It kind of feels like a real treat, doesn't it, to be able to meet together in person. So we're going to look at these. It's not exhaustive. It's just to get us thinking. We're going to unpack some more of these things in weeks and in months to come. First of all, to be a world-reaching church. What if being a world-reaching church is actually more important now than it was 2 years ago? Why? You don't have to look that hard to see, do you? There is a world out there that is hungry for good news, desperate for good news. In our world, I would say, more than we've known for decades, probably for most of us in our lifetimes. And if you check your history, what you find is a global church that has this rich heritage of turning up when plague hits, when the pressure's on. It doesn't run and hide, it stays, and it loves, and it serves courageously. There's a guy called Rodney Stark, a secular historian, and he wrote how the first Christians, this tiny group that went from being a persecuted minority to 10% of the Roman Empire, just spreading out across the world in 300 years. And he said this, he said there were two keys to these group of Christians. He said, one, they loved like Jesus loved, and two, they believed they would live forever. His evidence, interesting, were two episodes when populations were struck by plague. And he says that when these plagues first hit, the vast majority of people that could fled. And that included the pagan priests and the physicians. But the Christians, they stayed to care and to love. And there's stories, records of when people were fleeing cities because of a plague in one direction. The Christians were heading in the other direction, heading into the cities to love and care for people. You know, with or without COVID, Jesus invites us to join his mission to a hurting world. In some of his last words on earth, he gave us this task and a promise. Some of you will know these words well. I'm going to read them from Matthew 28. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, like we've done today, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In the next 365 days, 74 million people will die in this world, most of them without knowing how loved they are by God. You know, the good news is only good news if it gets there in time. So what are we going to do as a church? How do we play our part? You know, we know that things are won or lost in prayer, this place where we're trusting God. I want to suggest one way this morning of loads and loads of ways. I want to suggest that we pray, Lord, would you put one nation on my heart during 2022, during this year? You know, I love the thought of every one of us having a nation that we're praying for. So when we get bored on Facebook, we start Googling up about this nation. What's God doing there? What are some of the facts and figures? What's the good stuff? What's the really tough stuff? Maybe when we're driving and we get stopped at those lights that we always seem to get caught at, in that particular place, we say, that's the place I'm going to pray for this nation. Maybe in your house group, when it gets to that prayer time, rather than praying for Auntie Mabel's verruca. Anybody got an Auntie Mabel? Nobody actually has an Auntie Mabel, do they? It's just the kind of thing. But actually, rather than praying that, you say, hold on, actually, I'd like to pray for this nation that I've said I'm going to pray for this year. You can still pray for Auntie Mabel's verruca, by the way. We got personal connections in seven nations: Uganda, Nepal, Iraq, Kenya, Spain, Egypt, and India. What if every one of us just adopted one of these nations in 2022 or somewhere else that you really feel drawn to? You'll notice Afghanistan is up there as well. We have friends loving Jesus under incredible pressure that we're going to be talking a little bit more about in weeks and months to come. So if you're up for it, take a look at the map up on the screen, and I'm going to pray with the gentle help of the Holy Spirit that every one of us will be drawn to one nation that we can think, when we pray this year, I'm going to pray for that nation. What's the worst that could happen? You know, God's not going to say, oh no, I hate that nation. I really don't like those people. I wish you hadn't prayed for that. All right, so before you decide, take a look at the map. Before you decide, I'm just going to pray really quickly before we move on. Lord Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, would you lead every one of us to pray for one of these nations around the world, this planet populated by people that you love, just like Shanna, that you've made, that you care about, that you long to be in the middle of their lives, not outside of their lives. Lord, would you give us one nation and keep it in our heads and our hearts this year? Okay, now look at the map. Amen. Look at the map. I want you to, I'm going to count down from three. And on when I get to one, you're going to turn to somebody next to you and tell them the nation that you've chosen for 2022. All right? This feels a bit pressurized, doesn't it? If you haven't got a nation yet, you can just say, I'm not there yet. All right? That's completely fine. But maybe just choose a nation. Okay? You ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Tell your neighbor. Okay, great. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm hoping that a whole bunch of us have got one nation. Do you know what? I was praying about this morning, and one of the things I felt this morning, earlier this morning, I felt God say, do you know what? It gives me such pleasure when I hear the names of those nations in amongst my body, in amongst the people of the God. And by the way, for some of us, not for all of us, but maybe God's going to say, I love you praying for that nation this year. Now, how about you go for a week? I love it that someone's just laughed. How about you go for a month? How about you go for a year or longer? It's possible that's got what God will do with us this year. Back at the start of 2020, we took a team from here to Egypt. I think it's going to come up on your screen. And God met that team and he used every one of them. Here's the thing. None of them came back saying, what a waste of a week. My world is a little bit smaller. They all came back saying, oh my goodness, God used us this week. Isn't that right? Judith and Hattie and Sarah and others that went on that team. You can see them there. They came back saying, my world is bigger. Actually, I got more faith than I had when I left. World reaching could sound a bit grandiose. It's not at all. It's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. You ask anybody that's been on a missions trip, we learn so much from those that we go and love. So let's not look at the world in 2022 and say we'll wait until the storm is over. There's always storms. We go out in them with God. That's who we are. That's who he's called us to be. Okay, church planting. Surely not this year, right? How is Welton Baptist Church possibly going to do church planting this year? Well, hold on a second. You know, the heart of church planting is that bit of us that looks beyond our own church community and says, I want God's love to reach there down the road. And so I'm willing to do something about it. I may not have all the answers or all the gifts or the skills, but I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do beyond our own front door. You know, right now in January 2022, it seems unlikely that we're going to plant an entirely new church this year. But let's not forget, our God is a God of the impossible, isn't he? And so if he leads us that way, of course we're going to go for it. During this global pandemic, we've launched the Renew Wellbeing Cafe, Food for Thought, a YouTube channel where people who've never heard the gospel in other parts of the world are getting to hear about Jesus. And most significant, there's a whole bunch of us in this room who in this last year or two, we have shared our faith in Jesus with somebody, and that's helped them begin their own faith journey. God is the God of the impossible. So what if we were to say, God, this year in 2022, we want to plant the seeds of church wherever we can and trust that God is going to water those seeds, and whatever he wants to do, we'll just say yes to it. Give you a few ideas of what that might be. We haven't got time for loads, but just a few things that hopefully will spark your imagination, and I would love to hear your own thoughts. What might it look like? A few seeds that we begin to sow. And grow that heart of a church that wants to plant churches. You could plant the seeds of church in your workplace. If you find one or two other Christians and say, how about once a month over lunch we get together and we pray? And then maybe as we go on, maybe in a couple of months' time, we go out for a beer in the evening and we just invite a few mates to join us. And one of us just gives a 3 minutes bit of our faith story and ask other people for their story, their life stories. You could join Welton Runners, our Saturday morning running group. Just put your hand up if you're part of Welton Runners. These are all the really thin, healthy people in the church you see right now. You put your hands down. Join those guys on a Saturday morning, and then afterwards say, let's go for coffee together. And again, maybe just sit down and ask that group of people, what do you think about faith? What does faith mean to you today? And maybe if you ask them that question, maybe you get them to ask you the question, and maybe there's a learning together about what that could mean. Imagine a spoons with a church in it. That's a thought, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great? Or a jacarandas where there's a church that gathers there and they're completely okay with it. Could be spending time really seeking God for the community you live in. What would it look like to walk the various streets around you? Maybe some that you've never walked down before. Looking for what people do together to socialize. Which places are suffering from deprivation? Which businesses are doing well? Which are struggling? What is God doing there in these places? And then saying to God, God, supernaturally, I'd love to be part of this changing. I'd love to be someone that sows some seeds of churches here. My prayer in this year is that we grow an expectation that God will supernaturally water those seeds of church beyond our front door. Are you up for that? I hope our kind of yes to that will grow during this year. All right, disciple making. Third of the three. You know, there's 100 things you could say about disciple making, right? I want to focus on one thing that I believe God has put on my heart and our heart as a leadership of the church. And it's to be a healing community. Just say that again. It's for us as disciple makers to increasingly be a healing community. I was out for a meal the other night with a good friend who asked me, what does that actually mean? It was a good question, and I've been pondering it, praying about it since then. Healing in the broadest sense, a safe space where we bring our struggles, our disappointments, our anger, our questions, our hopes. A safe space where we are actually restored by God in that space in order to live, not just to kind of get through, not just to survive. If you're a visual thinker, I'm a visual thinker, picture a freezing cold night when after a long, exhausting walk and you're tired and cold, you see this campfire. And you're drawn to it, and you go over, and you sit down, and you get warm. And the conversations around the campfire, they're just great. And as you look into the fire, and as you look at those around the fire, hope starts to rise. And you start to believe that your place in the world is a good thing. And that with God, your maker, actually anything is possible when you leave that place. You not just believe it, but you're looking forward to it. You want to get your hands around it. Here's a key in that picture. The fire that we gather around is Jesus. And we need to not be ashamed of that. You know, we're not some navel-gazing self-help group, but we're a multi-generational community of believers with Christ right at the center. He's the fire. Remember, he's the author and perfecter. I learned a new word this week. I've been away all week with my 3P team. It's been fantastic. Thank you, some of you who prayed. I learned a new word during the week away, and it's this word, respair. Anybody heard of the word respair? You might have heard of it if you're 400 or 500 years old, which some of you. No? Okay. It's an old word found in the Oxford English Dictionary. You can Google it if you like. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Any idea what it might mean? Anybody want to shout out what you think it might mean? Any ideas? Respair. Caroline is looking at the next slide on the PowerPoint. That is cheating. I'll tell you what it means. It's a noun or a verb meaning the return of hope after a period of despair. And that's what I believe God wants us to be, this community of healing, a return of hope after a period of despair. So what are some of the hallmarks of a community of disciples who are seeing God heal in their midst as they gather around him? We need to know that there's space around the fire for us. You know, the church worldwide has been under attack this last couple of years, no question, with this lie, perfectly suited to a hyper-individualized society. And it says you can do this on your own. You can do life on your own. You can do faith on your own. You can do social media will be everything you need. Just withdraw, pull back in. And COVID has just turned up the volume. And for many in the UK who've been part of the church community for years and years and years, there is this powerful narrative right now that says, withdraw, step back, let other people crack on and do that stuff of being God's community. Just withdraw. And like any lie, there's some truth in there. There's some plausibility. You know, there's always stuff wrong with the church, isn't there? Welcome to Welton Baptist Church. We've got a whole load of stuff that we get wrong, that we could get better. And so does every other church around the planet. But it's not about that. It's about who is at the center, the fire at the center. And everything inside of us that says withdraw, we need to remember the world that we're living in. There is a loneliness epidemic. You know that, right? I heard a senior care home advisor last week say that there's more people dying of loneliness than of COVID. The proportion of our young people, don't look around now. I tell you what, you won't have to look more than 10 foot to find a young person in our church, in our schools, our colleges, who is struggling with their mental health. It should shake us from this lie that says we're great at looking after ourselves. We're not. And we were never meant to be. That's why God called us to be this kingdom community, a healing community. Hear God's heart on this, straight from the Bible. Build one another up. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Do not give up meeting together. Love one another as I have loved you. When the enemy says you won't be missed, turn to him and tell him, yes, I will. When he says you can survive on your own, say, hold on, I don't just want to survive. I want to live. And I want to live in the community of God's people where he's put me. Perhaps the most beautiful thing about this fire that we gather around, about this healing community, perhaps the most beautiful thing about it, other than Christ himself, is how it creates space for people who've not yet experienced the love and grace of God. William Temple famously said, "The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." You know, one of the most healing things we can do in our own lives, and this sounds counterintuitive, but it's completely true. One of the most healing things we can do for ourselves is to share our faith with somebody who hasn't got one yet. Heaven touches earth when we share this faith in Jesus with others. When we say, actually, come and sit around the campfire with me. There's some space there for you. Not to be weirdos. Not to be Bible bashers. Not to be the ones with all the answers. We don't have all the answers. We've got a God who loves us and a bunch of things that we're learning as we go that we can learn other stuff from others, even those that don't know Jesus yet. One of the most healing things we can do is to be real about our faith with those who don't have one yet. Last thing, and we're going to pray. very briefly, and I feel really convicted about this. This is kind of where I started when I was preparing for this morning. We can't give what we have not received. And this year, I really believe in our church family, we need to become unashamed receivers from God. Not navel gazers, because that's not what happens when you receive from God. And you know, sometimes to receive, we need to reassess our view of the giver. Sometimes it gets skewed because of the lives that we've lived and those that have had some kind of input into our lives. We end up thinking that God is a bit like us, or a dad, or a teacher, or a boyfriend, or a husband, or a wife, whatever it may be. And we end up thinking that God is kind of like, yeah, I know he loves me, but deep down, actually, I think he just tolerates me. And maybe in the heart of God, what he's really wanting is for me to pull myself together and just try a bit harder. What if the truth is vastly different from that? This is where our Bibles are so important. You know, there's nothing more important than your view of who God is. And there's nothing more truth-giving than the Word of God. Get this, the only place in the New Testament where Jesus describes his own heart towards us. Do you know what he says? In Matthew 11, he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. It's the same place where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So get this, the only place Jesus describes his own heart, we find a God who invites the tired, the messed up, the doubters, the addicted, the scared, the you and me, to bring our heavy loads, to bring everything that we've got and say, here I am, and to receive. And here's the thing, Jesus loves to do it. He doesn't reluctantly agree. There's a modern day parable, very quickly, that I love from the book Gentle and Lowly, I think is helpful. It says this, a compassionate doctor has traveled deep into the jungle to provide medical care to a primitive tribe afflicted with a contagious disease. He's had his medical equipment flown in. He has correctly diagnosed the problem, and the antibiotics are prepared and available. But as he seeks to provide care, the afflicted refuse. They want to take care of themselves. They want to heal on their own terms. Finally, though, a few brave young men step forward to receive the care being freely provided. What does the doctor feel? Joy. It's what we read in Hebrews 12, what it means when Jesus says, for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy? What was on the other side of the cross for Jesus? It is the joy of us coming and receiving from him. It's what gets Jesus out of bed every morning if he needed to get out of bed. It's what we see in Shanna's story, the joy of God that his daughter has said, I can't do this on my own, Lord, I need you. And for those of us here in leadership, just a quick word as we come to the end. It's for us too, it's for you too. Why? Because we have a God who calls us to lead from the middle, not from the top. It's where our Baptist theology comes into its own. We're not priests who stand between the people and God. Yes, we lead, but not to be a bridge between people and God, but to be right in the middle, modeling what it looks like to trust God in the highs and in the lows. To see our weaknesses, not as stuff that we're supposed to hide from others, but to see them as opportunities for the strength of God to come and to fill us as we say, Lord, I want to receive from you. We're going to pray. I believe God wants to say to all of us here this morning, come closer to the fire, to Jesus, to the healer, alongside others that are doing the same. You know, the simple question as we come to an end is, are you going to stand back or are you going to come and sit around the campfire and look into the face of Jesus? Disciple making, church planting, world reaching. My prayer for us as a church is that we don't say, let's just wait until 2023. Let's pray. Lord, I want to ask you now by your Holy Spirit that you'd give us a conviction. Yes, for the nations. yes to be those that are sowing the seeds of church, with you growing our heart of what that could look like for us as a church. And Lord, from the beginning and all the way along, that we'd be those that are coming and sitting around the fire, the presence of God, recognizing our need of you. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, those of us that are willing, we say, Lord, we want to come to you. We want to sit down around that fire. We pray, God, where we need it right now at the beginning of this year, would you heal us? Would you restore us? Lord, would you give us an expectation that with you, anything is possible? And Father, as a church, would you give us a conviction about having space around us for others to sit down next to us and look at the same Jesus we're looking at? In Jesus' name, amen.